I have to decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Let's all stand. Hide this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Turning back. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I can hear the roaring in the mulberry tree, and I know, I know, I know the move is on. This is God moving day. Move a little closer where the fire is falling. Move on, Jordan, move on. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Not do. You saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. I like this. You heal my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. Here, brother. You heal my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. You heal my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Okay, man, let's sing this. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. For he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. For he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be. Okay, ladies, I want you to sing this, all right? Go, ladies. Glory, glory. Glory, glory to his name. For he reigns forevermore. Glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forevermore. It's a shout here. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh is his name. For he provided all my need. Jehovah Jireh is his name. For he provided all my need. Sing it out to him. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Amen. Can we get the Lord a praise? Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of his glory. Pour out your power and love. We sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of his glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1. Now remember, brother, it's been announced, but Brother Chris Long will be here this weekend ministering. All right, so remember that. He'll be in Wade, and I will be in up in Kentucky, I guess, coming back toward home. Brother Byler's on Sunday, so we'll be trying to join in with you as we come on down the road if we can get something hooked up, you know, and all, because we appreciate it. We'll be coming back in Sunday, you know, from hunting and all. And then remember, let's see, the next service will be on Tuesday, so don't forget now, this coming Tuesday, it will not be Wednesday. It'll be Tuesday because we're having the time before Thanksgiving that we always have, all right? And what is the brother's name, brother?
Marcus Becker.
Marcus Becker will be here preaching for us, the Lord willing, this coming Tuesday night. Marcus Becker from Germany, right? Germany? Yeah, okay.
He's been here before, about 7 years.
Yeah, he's been here and preached for us before. But remember that one will be here with us. And then scheduling on from there on, we'll go back to normal. We'll get back into routines and everything, all right? But it's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our brother back there. He keeps coming. He just found out he's got him a place back here. He can park, you know, and be with us and all. And we welcome him. All right. And I'm going to try to, I was going to finish up the adoption part last week there, but it keeps bearing on me that I want to make sure you understand what I'm talking about. All right, then we can move on, because I'm sure it's going to wind up in the next message, because we're going to title this message Anointed Ones. All right, but we will not get into that part until the next service in the depth that I want to, but I want to just approach it up to a spot and then drop off and wait until we get back and try to preach. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and your love. We thank you for everything. We just ask you to be with us tonight, Lord, and just bless us. And let your understanding be in our hearts and your grace and love to be with each and every one of us. Forgive our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and guide us, Lord, in your love. Be with Brother Al, be with Brother Dick, our Lord, Brother Collie, all of these ones that are sick, Lord. And just reach down and touch. There's many, many sicknesses among us. And we just have to depend upon you, because you said you would send your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction. So we love you and we thank you. And guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from our Father and from the Lord, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, what is the mystery of God's will? To adopt his church. All right? The prophet said that great, glorious stand. Okay? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now watch, being predestinated according to this purpose. Okay, so that's what we want to dwell a little bit on tonight. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say it, but I'm not going to come up to it very far, because I'm going to try to get into a place. Now, it says, whereby you're sealed unto. That Holy Spirit of promise. That. When it states it like that, it's meaning using that word that, T-H-A-T, is singular off and dwelling in the way that he wants it to be said. But now here's the point that if we have time, we'll get there. If we don't, we'll take it up later. Had you ever thought about anointed ones? What do you think about anointed ones? You say, well, we know the prophet taught us and we believe it that you're anointed on your spirit. Right? And you're an anointed one. Well, have you ever thought about that everybody that's in any way is anointed, then you better cherish the way it is, because the anointing on you is no different than the anointing on anointed ones. See, it's not you have some certain anointing and the anointed ones have a certain anointing. Mm-mm. Now you need to consider that and pound it in your mind for, you know, till the next time we're back preaching. We'll try to get into anointed ones and explain it. And all, because here is the point. What's the difference between anointed ones and true born-again Christians? Leaving a couple of things for you to think on a little, to consider the point. But I'll give you the answer to where you won't be left dangling. Anointed ones are not sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'll let you think on that a little bit. Anointed ones are not sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's just on their spirit. And we'll get back to that. We'll get into the message. All right. Because what we want to keep in our thought is what? As we read here in the scripture, that you're predestinated unto adoption. All right. Then being predestinated to adoption is a great thing. As I tried to explain to you, I went back over the services a couple of times, thinking about the way to express it. But see, I'm trying to explain a point. Predestination is by foreknowledge. Amen. All right? Amen. Those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. Amen. Well, that's just them old denominational ideas about predestination. We've got the truth now. Well, okay, explain to me why anointed ones are not not sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you'll explain that to me, we won't have to worry about it. Just leave those thoughts jangling in your mind. But see, predestinated. Everybody is predestinated. By foreknowledge. Everything is predestinated by foreknowledge. The car you drove up here today in is predestinated. You know. Everything is predestinated by foreknowledge. Because God foreknew. Now are you going to say he didn't know? Now you're limiting God to say that God didn't know, you know, what you're doing. Like I told you about my dad and my mother trying to explain predestination. And she said, God knows everything. He said, does God know I'm going to pick that bowl of cotton? Because it's out picking cotton, you know, in the field. She said, yes, he does. He just went around it and went on picking cotton. He thought he really had her fooled, you know. But he did have a point to her that she couldn't explain it. But see, his point was, if God predestinated me to do that, then I got to do that. All right? But see, predestination is a great depth of understanding. Once you get it into the right order, it'll come out to a wonderful point. But remember, it's all got to be related to predestination by foreknowledge. All right? That God foreknew what we would do. All right? Now, the prophet says, 154 Church Age book, we've quoted it over and over to you, that it's not the person, the prophet said, it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God, it's the word or seed. See, because all of these persons, 7 billion in the world today, are predestinated by foreknowledge. All right? But it takes a lot to be able to say that you're predestinated eternally. Well, I have eternal life. Well, that's good. That's where you're starting from. But the thing of it is, everybody down through time, or not everybody, but all true born-again believers, have eternal life in their soul. All right? See, so that puts them into a wonderful position. Okay? And see, each age, no, think about it. If it's the seed or word that comes predestinated eternally from God, then that seed or word is what we have to deal with to try to stay on to find out what's going on. All right? And see, in the message now, they got all this with this seed. We come down this way, seed. We done this seed. It's seed this, seed that. It's just all kind of seeds. And that's well and good. Maybe they understand what they're talking about. But I still got to go back to the one point. That no matter what you are or what you think about what you are, you're predestinated by foreknowledge. God foreknew everything that would ever take place. See, that away, then, he could, by knowing everything. See, here's where people with predestination cut off. See, by giving God the point of understanding that it's the Word, then you can see that he could sit back before the world and watch every person in the world and not handpick him this one or that one because of this or that or the other. But he could see that each one that wanted eternal life, he would have it ready for him. Now that doesn't leave us into a whole sea of, well, that's predestination. No. No, that leaves right where it's at. See, before the world, he would look down through time and he would see you, and he would know your desires and your thoughts, then he could work according to that. And he could predetermine what you're going to be. That's no problem with that. If he sees the end, why could he not predetermine it? What I said, we'll back up into some of those things in predestination, maybe in the next message or so. But I want you to think about that there's a word allotted for each age. All right? Now, I've got a lot of these laying here. If you want me to read them, then do it. But the prophet said there's a word for every age. There's a seed. There's a word for every age. All right? Now, that seed, then, our word can come predestinated eternally, and the people still just come predestinated by foreknowledge, and it's still right. Amen. See? Because if you'll think about it a little bit, see, we're the end time people. We're I don't care how much longer we're left here, we're still the end time people. You know? The end of all things has come upon us. Maybe it's creeping up slow, but it's getting on us. It's there. All right? And you say, well, Brother Dale, if I could just understand if I was predestinated. Well, why not go back and think about it a little and consider where you come from and how you got to where you're at and why you got to the position you're at and all. You know, God could be looking at that. I mean, he is. I don't mean he could be. He's looking at our lives and our doings. And he can predestinate according to what those desires in each one of us, but not predestinate according to his desires. Now, that's the difference in the story. He desired that everybody could be saved. I'm quoting Brother Branham, right? He desired everybody could be saved. All right? But then by his foreknowledge, he could look down through and see who would be and who would not be saved. And then the word predestination simply means, if you get it in the correct order and thinking, it just means a destiny set to take place. Or a time, or whatever you want to call it, you know. It's that set to take place. All right? See, when Martin Luther began to preach the just shall live by faith, it was the cedar word that he was bringing. Right? That cedar word was predestinated eternally. In other words, God before the world looked down through time, and he just didn't pick out this and pick out that, but he looked through time and he knew what would take place. And when Martin Luther stood out there and preached the just shall live by faith, that was what was predestinated from God. Amen. Not the man part. The man had to be there. There had to be a body. There has to be a body to carry. There had to be a body for Brother Branham to walk on this earth, or anybody. See? There has to be a body there that would, by foreknowledge, God would know that. See, he doesn't look down and try to figure out you trying to be good either. See, if it is true that the seed is what comes predestinated eternally, we need to be concerned about the seed. The word. And thereby follow it as to what we hear. All right. See, each age had its part of the gospel. Each age had its part of the gospel, Brother Brown said, already predicted. And can't you see then that Martin Luther, there he would be out there trying to preach and to do, and he would wind up preaching his message that no doubt he had preached on the scripture there where it says that the just shall live by faith. No doubt he had preached services on that. No doubt he preached maybe commentaries on it because that was his doing. Forgive me. But the thing of it was, something one day happened to a man named Martin Luther. Something happened. What? The connection between the God and the seed come into being. Now, follow what I'm saying, and listen. It's not necessarily the God and the man came into being. That's normal. That's part of it. But there's something happened in that word. And Martin Luther, as I said, maybe had preached that and preached that and preached it. But one day he looked down there and he said, "The just shall live by faith." And they said he wrote alone on the side of it. See, he saw something then. Right? God caught up with the man. Because the man was studying the word. And so God caught up with that man. Then you got your man and God together now. That's all right. We're getting to a point because it has to come out to predetermining. God knew that Martin Luther, as I said the other day about to, my sister was telling me a little more on some point about where Brother Brown said Abraham believed God and said Abraham, God knew Abraham would teach his family. He'd do that. See, now that's foreknowledge. But what made the difference between Abraham and Lot or anybody else? Abraham believed God. Yeah, but Brother Dale, that's too simple. No, that's where our trouble. We try to make it something else. That's how simple it really is. the Word of God was predetermined to come. It would have to come. It can't be without it, because He predetermined it. All right? See, then here comes a man walking along, and he begins to think on that scripture. And it just begins to unfold. You ever had that to happen? That is, you're just thinking on the Word of God, and it just starts unfolding. And the first thing you know, you're right into a channel that you've never experienced maybe before. It's the Word that I'm talking about. The Word caught up with a man. Or you can say the man caught up with the Word. Which way you want to go with it? I'm not arguing no points. I'm just talking to what I see. That Word was to come forth. All right? See, then if it was to come forth, then God would have to be there to make it alive. And He did in a man called Martin Luther. So you can take anybody, see, anywhere, Paul, Peter, anybody that you want to are coming down through, or any church age, each messenger, you can talk about each one of them being a human being, a mortal, that was maybe living better than most of them, but still not necessarily so much. But something happens. And when that happens, that seed comes alive. That Word that you heard comes alive to you. You say, well, I never thought of that. I've thought of these things, but never thought of it like that. Do you realize it was so much personal to Martin Luther? He turned the world upside down. I mean, regardless of what you think about him, you can think about him being a hater of the Jews. You can think about him being a Trinitarian. You can think about him being all kind of things. But something struck one day. And do you realize a man brought forth a message that was not reformation? It was restoration. Sure, you deal with it as the way they work and all, as reformation, yes. But Brother Brown says that Luther was a reformer. Wesley was a reformer. He calls Azusa Street a reformation. See? I emphasize that because you know the Azusa Street would be the baptism of the Holy Ghost poured out on the people. But remember, at the same time as it was being reformation, because Luther wanted to try to convert the church. He didn't want to get out of it. He wanted to convert the church. At the same time, it was restoration because God said, I will restore the years of cankerworm, locust, caterpillar, etc. In other words, I'm going to bring it. See, we do have something to do with our predestination. Because it's according to whether or not we can believe the Word. Amen. See, then, each age has had its message and its messenger. Right? Every age packed the message. Each age, remember now what I'm saying, each age had the message and the messenger. All right? When the messenger and the message got together, now you're seeing predestination. Now you're following it the way God wants it to be followed. There was the man come forth with a message, and it was the messenger to the age. He was predestinated to that. Now, may I say it without you going the wrong way? I didn't say about the flesh. I'm talking about the Word. So then it's the word or the seed of God, which is the word of God, that comes predestinated eternally from God. Everything else comes by foreknowledge. All right? See, then he had his message, and God had his messenger. Right? See, he reached down and picked up Luther, and he said, "Now, Luther, I know you've been, and surely the way he was, he would have been against the church and the doings, you know, and he would have been living a good life and doing the things like that. But something struck in the man's heart that was not just a point of trying to live good. He saw salvation. Now, will you agree with me? Martin Luther saw salvation. He didn't just see works and lives and good doings and dealings and things. He saw salvation. Because he saw the Word. Can you say you've seen the Word of this age? See, then there was a messenger that had a message. And the prophet said the messenger and the message is one. All right? Now, was Brother Branham God? No. So it's not that away. The messenger and the message is one, is when that word was made alive to the messenger. Right? When the word became alive to the messenger, then the messenger and the message is one. Right? Because you're seeing it. So it's predestination. You remember what we brought out from Christ, the mystery of God revealed? Brother Brown says predestination. He said, there's the mystery. We should have known that predestination is by foreknowledge. So we ought to know that's not the mystery that's being spoke of. The prophet goes on to say that that great glorious stand, adoption. That great glorious stand. Why? So, because something's going to take place. Now, whether you have followed me on what I've tried to bring for the past few months, I pray you have, because I'm talking about that word or seed that's been made alive to you. I ain't talking about because you carry a book and you quote the prophet and you quote your Bible and you memorized every bit of it. I'm asking you, has it been made alive to you? You know, has it come off the pages to live in your life? Because see, if the message and the messenger are one, then that message come off the pages to the prophet. Right? Well, see, then it's got to come off the pages to you and I. All right? But each age was predestinated as part of the mystery. Now follow me. But each age is not predestinated unto adoption. Now, we're going to get into something, right? Follow what I'm saying now. Foreknowledge, everything's predestinated. There's a seed for each age. It's predestinated a word. But just remember, when you're reading in Ephesians, that's coming down to our time. Because the prophet said, there's the great mystery. See, he didn't just come to bring a message of the just shall live by faith. Brother Branham didn't come to bring a message about women's hair and clothes and dresses and things. He come to bring the message of the Word of God that was revealed to him. Oh, but you struck it now because I always thought, no, come on, you're getting in the wrong thing. You're thinking that Brother Branham's message is just a book of rules. And you're making it Reformation. You maybe not even understand the terminology or thoughts of what's being said, but you're making it Reformation. You're making it a carnal reform. I don't cut my hair. I don't wear pants. I don't do this. I don't do that. You can do every bit of that and die and go to hell. There's where anointed ones come in at, right? You can have every bit of that lined up and still be wrong. What about that? See, then we say, I know I'm saved because I... See, there's only one way that I know I'm saved. Can I quote the prophet in a paraphrase and point others who's saying it? What is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? Whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. Right? So it's got to have to do, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not our lives and our doing, it's how much that Word is brought into our hearts and made alive. The new birth is when the Word is made alive to you. See, that's just simple to me because it's the birth. But see, each age was predestinated for that age. It had its own message. You read the church ages, you know what I'm talking about. But this age is the age, the prophet, I gave it to you over and over, where he said, where my brother, where my sister, was it that the time for all of this until now? See, this is the age of predestination unto adoption. Not to just predestinate it to your new birth, because you're predestinated to that. I mean, that's natural. Martin Luther and them didn't have predestination unto adoption. No. But they had predestination to the Word that was to be in their age. That they could see and they could live and walk and talk it and be it. Amen. You had never just sat down and thought about those ages and read a little bit your prophet says, now not just me or what. That here comes Martin Luther preaching the just shall live by faith. Why? Because they turned out to be a bunch of legalistic, right? Catholic church, do's and don'ts, works and things. And Luther preached the just shall live by faith. Do you believe he was church age messenger? Amen. All right, now do you believe John Wesley was a person, church age messenger? Amen. Well, see, John Wesley picks up trying to bring the church, whereas Luther was trying to bring it into by faith. John Wesley sees that it's not working that way, and he goes with the legalistic form. But yet it was the Word of God. It was restoration. All right? And see, then here comes many later on that looked like it fell all the way back. That they rejected the gospel. No, they didn't. John Wesley was right. Luther was right. The baptism of the Holy Ghost on Azusa Street was the Word of God. The Word of God was made alive in a one-eyed black man, and he started a revival. Amen. Right? What was made alive? The Word. Amen. Well, you need to quit doing this and quit doing that. That wasn't what was made alive. Right? What was made alive was the Word. Amen. To tell you why you're doing that. Why can't you see salvation that way? Why can't you see salvation to the basis that God is revealing His Word to not try to tell you how dirty you are and you need to get straightened up? He's trying to tell you how great you are. Amen. Right? It's not do's and don'ts. It's the revealed Word. Amen. And that Word being revealed, and I'm just reading as I'm coming down from Brother Brown. See, every age and times, all of that, it's not predestinated unto adoption. This is the age that's predestinated to adoption. No other age could reach it. No other time could be outside of this age. Well, you know what? There's somebody got to make that word live. Well, you, the way you preach, you know, you sound like it. You're saying we ought not try to be good. I don't want you to be good. I don't want my kids to be good. I want them to get saved. I want my grandkids and great-grandkids. I want them to get saved. That'll take care of the doing right and wrong. But yet we preach it as a legalistic works. I quit this, I quit this, I don't know. Well, what about some of us that didn't do them things to start with? What are you going to do with us? I didn't drink. I didn't do those things. Did that make me already saved? No, that made me in the worst shape, because the closer to the truth is the worst part. All right? But what are you trying to say now, Brother Dale? I'm trying to talk about this age and what is to be done in this age. Isn't it so marvelous? This was the age that was given the entire Bible. Right? Did it not come through the prophet's message? Did he not bring the entire mysteries of the Bible? This age. Not none of the other ages. See, Paul and them didn't know nothing about the seals. They didn't even talk about them. They didn't preach about it because they didn't understand. Even though Jesus had preached it in Matthew 24, they still couldn't follow that. Paul didn't come along with a sermon on Matthew 24 or some of the others in order to explain the seals and things to you. No, but it was left to this age. Here comes a prophet. God begins to open the word to him. And it just keeps unfolding. Until it unfolded into his adoption, as I told you. I told you what I think. I just think it, so it don't matter to me. I'll tell you anyway. The Lord Jesus was adopted when he got to Mount of Transfiguration. That's what your prophet says. Right. Brother Branham, when he got to Sunset Mountain, I believe he was adopted. Amen. You say, well, I think he was for then. Well, that's just me and you both talking, so that's all right. You put yours in the word and let's see. But you see, he identically fit the scriptures of the Lord Jesus' ministry into his life. The word came forth. The word that the world had waited on. Waited on Malachi 4. Right? Waited on Luke 17:30. Revelation 10:7. The world was waiting on it. And here comes a man to bring that word. Seed. A message that he brought. Okay? Unto adoption. This age is the greatest of all ages. Did your prophet make this statement? He said if there was anywhere and any time would be an age, he would rather be to be this age. You know, evidently he I don't think it was just because of a better world to live in, maybe seemingly. I think it was what was taking place. The word began to be revealed to the prophet, and he brought it to the bride. Knowing then, as he come along, he said, now, your adoption is not your birth. He said, your adoption is your placing. Now, listen for a second now. A placing. So that means if it's a placing, it means something personal. Placing. People being placed in position. People being placed. Adoption taking place. Children growing up to be sons and daughters of a living God. Well, I just don't see it. See, that don't mean it ain't here. If you'd have been here when the Lord Jesus was here and said, "Dad, that's the same thing that happened then, does now." That belittles instead of trying to make you look like you know something. Sorry. Is that the best way to say it? See? But listen. An eternal people predestinated to eternal life. You need for me to read these? A predestinated people predestinated to eternal life. Somebody is going to be changed, right? Why? Because the Bible says it. Right? To solve the problem, we got that out of the way. The Bible said you'd be chained to molten dream. Somebody's going to do that. All right. So it can't be that you say, "Well, I just don't believe that. I don't know." That ain't got nothing to do with it. Because somebody's going to be there because God said it. All right? Amen. And see, a predestinated people would, with eternal life, would be the seed of that age. Amen. What is this age? The entire Bible being revealed. Right? 66 books being revealed. Revealing about what? What is the book talking about? It's talking about a predestinated people. But not just a predestinated people by foreknowledge, but a predestinated people of eternal life. You realize if you have the new birth today, you have eternal life in your soul. And you know that then you were predestinated for that to come forth. That's wonderful. But what about still? That would put you like Martin Luther. That puts you in a position of following the word for your age. But what about a people that one day will walk off the earth? Now you can see then why the Bible says they without us cannot be made perfect. See? Because somebody's going to come to the word that the prophet brought. But it don't have to be then. Now I'm going to tie this together with the two parts of what I'm talking about. It don't have to be people with... See, we want to see signs and wonders. And that's well and good. You know, that's good. We all enjoy that. We love the presence of God. We want to see people live good lives and serve God. That's all well and good. But see, if it's not something personal to you, what do you got? I'm talking about something to where that you'll realize where you're at. You'll realize what God has done for you. Think back in your life where you come from. Just think back in your life where you come from and realize it's been Him all the time that's brought us to this place. None of us wanted what we got. Come on. Oh, yeah, we all wanted the presence of the Lord. We all wanted things to feel good. We want everything like it. But we didn't realize what was taking place. What about that prophet standing out there on the Ohio River when a voice from heaven says, "Your message will forerun the second coming." Right? Your message will forerun the second coming. You think that wasn't something personal to him? But like I've always said to him, he gets over to Spoken Word's original seed. And he says, as of yet, Malachi 4 is not fulfilled. Well, the brother asked him one time, you know, do you believe that's you? And he said, yeah. I think he believed that was him, don't you? But then something happened in that message, and God said, pick up your pen and write. I got something I've got to explain to you. And he says, as of yet, Malachi 4 is not fulfilled. Well, don't you think that he set out to try to fulfill Malachi 4, wouldn't you? Right? I mean, you're starting home tonight and something speaks to you and says, don't go that way, turn out here and go down this other road and go a different way because there's problems. Well, if you got any sense at all, you'd listen to that. Yeah, but I don't have time to fool around. That's about the basis we do. But are you listening? Because, you see, the new birth is the sealing in of the individual into the body of Christ. All right? That's not your adoption in the point of the adoptions and the coming down to three stages. That's the new birth. You're a babe in Christ. But you're sealed in the kingdom. Right? Now, sealed in the kingdom of God, something personal happening. But you got anointed ones. But they got all kind of signs and wonders. Right? Anointed ones have all kind of signs and wonders, right? But they're not sealed in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, they're sealed out. They're outside the kingdom. They're sealed out. They can't get in. You can't get in being an anointed one. You got to have more than just an anointing on your spirit. All right, then. See, if anointed ones are sealed out because you're the ones with the Holy Ghost that's sealed in. The soul of the individual, looking it down on anointed ones at the end time. The seal of the individual is the baptism of the Holy Ghost to seal us in the kingdom of God by the new birth. But see, anointed ones never get that. Yet look at them. As far as outward emotions and signs, anointed ones outshine the bride of Christ. Right? See? But what good is it? What do you mean, Brother Dale, what good is it? We serve God. We worship God. We have a good time. We do it, you know. And you're sealed out. And you got somebody over here that's just struggling to live, walking day by day in the things of life, trying to serve God. And you see them struggling, and yet they're sealed in the kingdom. Which one do you want? I don't know where you'd ever thought about it. It just clicked on me the other day. Anointed ones. You say, oh, that's the seal of God. No. Oh, the true bride is not anointed on their spirit. They're anointed in the soul by the new birth. Anointed ones are anointed on their spirit realm. Memory, reason, conscience, affections, and things. Which one do we want to be? Because that's what we're doing. We're proving one way or the other. We're proving what we are. Right? Every day we're proving what we are. What we're doing. See, that's why give me the word. Oh, I want the anointing. I'll enjoy it. I love it. It's great. But give me the word. Because the word is what seals me in. Okay? But now, anointed ones are sealed out because they can't follow the word. They'll go so far. Is that what your prophet said? Did Balaam go so far? Balaam had all the anointing, had all the signs and wonders, all kind of things happening. But when he faced a real prophet, he proved then what he was. You see, church, I'm trying to get you to look at something personal of being predestinated unto adoption. This is the age. This is the time. This is the place. There's never been an age like this. There's never been a time like this. That's not talking about natural bad things. I'm talking about the bride of Christ having now the Word of God. But do we cherish it as the Word? Simply thought to you, just putting two things together. Anointed ones have great signs and wonders. But they won't talk to you about the word. Anointed ones then down, Brother Branham talking about that lady cutting the grass. And he said, that's why you can't tell her. It's wrong for her to get out there cutting grass with her shorts on and things. He said, because she's anointed. And women come up to him, women preach. He said, I'm not going to tell you that you're not called to preach. He said, I will tell you it's not in the word. But he said, I'm not going to. He said, that's between you and God. See? Which one do we want to be? An adopted, manifested son or daughter of God? Or just being an anointed one that has great signs and wonders and all kind of things taking place. Healings and signs and wonders and all like that. Yeah. Which do you want? Because remember, he gives you the desire of your heart. Right? He'll give you the desire of your heart. So don't desire a lot of things if you don't really want it. Well, I want the signs and wonders of God dwelling among us. Amen, we do. But now am I going to put that ahead of the word? Give me the word first and then those things will take place. Don't put that first. Don't put anointed ones first. You're in bad shape because you ain't understanding what I just said. Anointed ones are not sealed in the body of Christ. They're sealed out of the body of Christ. True born-again Christians are sealed in the body of Christ. Yeah, but I'd sort of love to see this. I'd love to have those days back. Yeah, well, that's good. I would too. All of it. But now I'm going to say this. It's going to hurt all of our feelings. You know why that those things are not among us today? Because of you and me. Okay, we got it solved. You and me. Because we're the only ones who can keep it from happening. Right? We're the ones that can keep from God doing things. So he's waiting on us to get out of the way. What is it? What about it being so much that you could be anointed one in your spirit with the genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit and still be lost? That's hard for the human mind to comprehend. The prophet says it's true. something. I want to find the day that I'm living, if you understand what I'm driving at. My whole point of what I'm talking about tonight is one thing. Finding out who I am and where I'm at and what's to be expected of this age. The word to be opened to us is the most marvelous thing that could ever be thought of. Amen. Is to understand the Bible and it be revealed. Amen. Are you just thinking about what I'm saying? Then to think about, you could be so anointed with all of that and have all of those great things and still be sealed out of the kingdom. Yeah. That's my whole point. Finding the day that we're living. Because now listen to what I'm saying. There has never been an age like this. There has never been a time when anointed ones were here like they are now. Right? Well, there was anointed, isn't it? No, not like it is now. Because, see, it's so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. May I continue the quote the prophet said on that one day? He said, frankly, he'd get the bride so confused he'd have to cut the work short. Now, I paraphrased that. It's pretty close to the truth. What about it? Do you want to be an anointed one and have great signs and wonders and great opportunities and all like that, great healings and great things? Or you want to be the bride that'll take the word and stand on the word? But you see, I've never looked like a lot of people's looked at adoption. I've always tried to do one thing. And I've taught this from the beginning, 40 years or more ago. I've never looked at anointed ones to be like what a people think. Most of all I've ever heard talk about adoption and things like that is that it's bringing them into view. No. You don't put a tutor with a man, a child, to raise him up to have those kind of thoughts. You put a tutor with a child to raise him up to have the thoughts of the Father or the intents of the Father or what the Father wants. Adoption is to bring the Father on the scene, not to bring the children on the scene. That's what follows it. But adoption is to bring the Father into view in His children. That's the day that we're living. Adoption age. When the bride realizes who she is, the prophet said she'll be an invincible army. Yeah. Well, I think we ought to begin to consider the things in maybe a little different way, as I said. Because we think about adoption. Let me repeat that again where you won't miss it. We think adoption is to bring is the Father to bring the Son on the scene. No. Adoption is for the Son to get out of the way and let the Father come on the scene. Let's get out of the way and quit hindering God with our little petty ideas and thoughts and get it settled in one thing. God wants a group of people to stand for His word. He'll take care of the rest of it. You think I'm worried about the end of the world? You think I'm concerned about life and government and who's running for who and what's running for what? I always told you back yonder, hey, If you think Hillary getting in the White House would get this thing to go, and let's put Hillary and two or three women in there all together and just give them the whole thing. I'm serious. Just let them have it. But that ain't it. It's going to be a surprise to all of us when this is finished, I believe. To see how foolish we thought, you know, how good we thought we were or had it all figured out until God comes on the scene and makes it so simple. This is the age of adoption. It was never before this age, the adoption the Bible's talking about. I preached it to you now. If you're listening, some of your minds is running and running and saying, yeah, but you preached the other day. Right. When you're born into the family of God, you are adopted into the family of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that is not your headstone. That is not the stature of a perfect man. Those has to be developed through the child trainings, etc., and coming out to the ending of it. It's according to how you're using it. And this is the age of adoption. Not meaning that God wasn't in other ages and doing things all the way down through there. He always was. But now he's doing it greater than ever. Because he's putting into the hands of his children the right understanding about the word. Well, what do you think? Well, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have that. I wish we could get back to the great days. All right. But where will that put us out of here in a rapture? Right. Come on, musicians. Let's just leave it with you. I hope it strikes home the thought that anointed ones, to look how they do and what they can do and things can happen, but they're not sealed in the body of Christ. But the least member of the body of Christ that's sealed in by the baptism of the Holy Ghost is greater than all of those that are anointed. Because this is the age of adoption. This is not the age of the new birth. This is not the age of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the age of the fully revealed Word of God to go from Genesis to Revelation. This is the age of it. This is the time. This is when we should be rejoicing. I'm rejoicing in my soul thinking about the things, but dying in my flesh into knowing what's happening to the world and the people and all the things that are happening. But in my soul is set to one thing. I've never been, and you know yourself, you've been with me, some of you, 40, 50 years. I've never tried to teach anything about the end of all things coming here. I taught you back there in 74 that we could pass the year 2026. So you know I'm not trying to do that, but I'm saying now, you better be serious. Things are getting worse. Oh, yeah. Well, you think you know who's... I don't care who's president. The Bible says, I put in kings and I take out kings. So whoever that he wants to be the next president is going to be the next president if nobody in the world votes. Or if everybody votes for one person, except for one person out of the whole 7 billion, then they'll look down and say, well, them 6 billion's wrong. We're going to take this one vote. You understand what I'm meaning? Simple language. When they want to move in, they move. They do what they want to do. It's not for me and you. If they want to close us out today, they can close us out. There ain't a thing in the world we can do about it. God's going to take, God will take care of us, right? What a day. But to think that we're here. If you don't get nothing out of the message, they get one thing. Brother Dale believes we're in the age of adoption. Amen. And adoption means that God is here. Amen. God is on the scene to take us out of here. Amen. I believe that. Let's stand. What do we got?
596. I feel the pull this evening.
Anybody have a need?
I lay in bed. I begin to cry. And my mind just fails to.
What about it?
Exactly why.
Are you sealed in or sealed out?
The tongue or pen, the spirit's grown.
Maybe you ought to consider what I said. Anointed ones with all that great signs and wonders, they're sealed out. And you, with just the best in the world you can do as a scrounging of a human being, can be sealed into the kingdom of God.
Spirit's moving me to give my all.
What about it?
He speaks to me.
Do you rather be a child or rather be an anointed one? Which one?
Lord, please come and take control.
I feel the pull. Think about it. Traveling on tomorrow and going try to hunt a little bit and a little quiet time maybe and all, but just pray for us. The Lord will take care of us, and we'll certainly be praying for you. Be looking forward to all. And Brother Chris will be here for the weekend, and just pray that the Lord would take care of him and give him what. And then our brother coming next Tuesday, Brother Marcus, and bringing the word of the Lord. Just, you know, pray that the Lord would be with him and guide him, and we'll be backing him up with our word. I mean, our prayers. Oh, that's what we do, right? Father, we thank you for tonight. We pray that what we said would sink down into our hearts, Lord. Do we want to be your children, or do we want to just be anointed ones? Help us to find the day, the hour that we're living, because in that we'll see what adoption really is. Just go with us on the way home. Take care of everybody. Give us a safe journey. Let your love and understanding be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's like a